Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 17th of December, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion, VRS, sticker there, of course, and Neil discusses why their subsidiary, Nanomat, has been awarded a patent. Also on the podcast, Ed Dawson, Managing Director of Prospects Oil and Gas, PXOG, and Ed explains why they've increased their interest in a proven gas project in southern Spain to 15%. Also on the podcast, Gobind Sahni, Executive Chairman of Alpha Growth, ALGW, talks about the benefits of their joint venture with SL Investment Management. I also have two lists for you, and these are the top fives most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see the top 10s versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Tired of using different sites to research companies? Vox Markets aggregates key financial details, pricing data, and company news into one place. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, CEO of Vesarion, VRS's ticket. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. I'm joining you from the sunny streets of Manchester today.
Yes. Well, I've seen on your Twitter feed, on Vesarion's Twitter feed, lots of news about the opening of the new graphene centre or institute. What's the official title? Is that where you're off?
Yeah, well, its short name is called The Geek, and it's the Great Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre, and that's our new £65 million base in Manchester.
Wow. Okay. And what's it? I mean, are you impressed with it, Neil?
Oh, it's amazing. You really should come and have a look at it. And one of the reasons that I'm here today is that we're negotiating when we can actually do the next investor event here in Manchester. We've had lots of people wanting to come and see us, and there's no place better than this new engineering centre.
Yeah, and as far as a world stage is concerned, I mean, if you look around the world, I know you're involved, you're up there and you are involved at highest levels in graphene development. But is that, are we, the British, taking it quite seriously now? I mean, can we, you are competing on a world level, but generally, are we competing at a world level?
Yeah, there's no doubt that this is probably one of the best graphene engineering centres, if not the best one in the world. And Manchester's seen about £1 billion worth of investment with a new engineering campus, the Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre, the NGI, and other buildings like the Royce Institute. So huge amounts of investment. But now what we need to see is that come into life. We need to see products. And you'll have seen last week that we are just about to take delivery and have started to pre-order for the first graphene enhanced headphones, which I'm actually talking to you today on.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I've seen those. And is the sound quality good?
Oh, it's amazing. And I got to be honest, I wouldn't be without them. I've been very fortunate to have a pair for a few weeks now, and they're just amazing.
Yeah. Well, let's go into some news. You've had out again a patent award. This is on one of your subsidiaries. Just explain this, if you could, Neil.
Yeah, so Nanomat, the business that we took a majority stake in, based out in Spain, looking at disruptive technology around batteries, has had their patent granted in Spain, and now we're rolling that out across other territories as we need to. But it's a massive keystone or sort of milestone event, and it's amazing development for that particular company. It proves our model. We took a bit of a risk. We like the management team. In fact, we love them. We like doing business with people that we can do business with and enjoy doing business with. And so we took a bit of a chance on the Nanomat thing. We bought in at just the right time. We've been able to work with them. And there's a real synergy between the two companies because, you know, Nanomat have been able to progress much quicker as being part of the Vesarium family. And, you know, they get to use the facilities like the one that we're talking about today. So this Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, they can actually be part of that whole conversation, join a much bigger entity in terms of this area and see some massive advantages in what they're doing. So it works for everybody. And it's amazing. Roberto and his team have been working really, really hard over in Spain. And, you know, sometimes being an engineer is quite a boring occupation. We're very logical, we're very methodical, we're very systems based, and this is just a process we're going through. And now we have the pattern. It means that we can start having those conversations with these companies, like the companies we met last week at the opening of the Geek Centre.
Yeah, well, do you know what's very encouraging? I know there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, Brexit and all this stuff, and people say we need Europe, but of course we need Europe, and they need us. But I mean, it's nice to see this kind of investment going into this cutting edge, you know, advanced engineering, graphene, you know, because there are very few countries that can do this. And I think, you know, engineers in this country, you know, we don't blow our trumpets enough. I think engineers have done so much in this country over the centuries, and it's nice to see this continuing here at the Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre. So just talk about Nanomat there. Explain what they are actually doing there, Neil.
So what we're looking at is any consumer that uses any kind of electronic device or any construction company that's involved in distributed power, any electric vehicle manufacturer, the one thing that they all require is better batteries. And what Nanomat's been working on with their institute out in Spain is developing battery chemistry using metal ions to improve supercapacitors and batteries. And that's what the patent is all around. The patent is all around the manufacturing process for being able to improve that chemistry that goes on inside batteries and supercapacitors.
Yeah, and that's what's holding everything back, isn't it, to a certain extent? You know, there's technical innovation going on. Everyone's talking about, you know, electric vehicles and all this. And the one thing that's holding it back pretty much is the storage of batteries, isn't it, and how much they can store. And everyone's still comparing them to sort of petrol diesel engines, saying, well, I do sort of, I've heard lots of people say, I do, you know, a couple of hundred miles every day, and it's not practical for me to have an EV. And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, that's the most exciting part about this development, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously with EVs, there's a lot of areas in which we can really, really help companies. And we're talking to companies all around the world about that. But, you know, batteries and supercapacitors are going to require to be much more efficient than they are at the moment if we're to deliver on everything that consumers want. You know, these, it doesn't matter whether it's a better phone or it's a better tablet or it's a distributed power system for storing off-grid energy. They all require better batteries and better supercapacitors. And with this patent, that's what we're, you know, we're able to talk to these big companies about now.
Yeah. So mentioning your the headphones there, what are they for sale? Are they for sale yet or not?
They're on pre-order at our partners, Media Devil, and you can find them on Amazon or you can find them via their website, mediadevil.com. And the headphones are inbound. We're expecting them to clear customs today or tomorrow and be out for Christmas. I can tell you that an awful lot of them have been sold already from the initial batch, which is great news. But for shareholders, we have some founders editions, which will be raffling off towards the end of this week. So keep your eye on my Twitter account at Neil Ricketts and see if you're lucky enough to win one.
Yeah, but that's an ideal Christmas present, isn't it? For, you know, audio geeks, you know?
Yeah, these are really, really good. So, you know, I they're the ones that I personally use all the time now. So I've been really impressed with the quality, and everyone I've shown them to and everybody who's listened to them has been impressed as well. So Callum's done a really good job of getting these products out really, really quickly. And hopefully everyone will enjoy them for Christmas.
Yeah, marvellous. Okay, Neil. Final thing, as always, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of Vesarium but are not following the story, three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
This is an amazing area to be involved in at the moment in terms of the sectors that we're currently working on, everything from electric vehicles through to construction. The second reason is that I don't think any business in this particular field is as well connected with either central government, Innovate UK, the Department of International Trade, or the University of Manchester and University of Cambridge. And with those university connections developing all the time. And the third thing is I'm the single largest shareholder, and therefore my aims and aspirations are all linked to those of the long-term holders.
Marvellous stuff. Neil, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ed Dawson, Managing Director of Prospects Oil & Gas. That's PXOG. Ed, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Now, you've announced you've increased your interest in a proven gas project in southern Spain to 15%, and we'll go into the details of that and why you're doing that in a bit. Before we do it, as always, you know, there are people listening, maybe not familiar with the company. Can you explain Prospects Oil & Gas? Summarise it. What's it all about, please?
Okay. We're AIM-listed. We're then on AIM as an investment company, and we have a portfolio of assets in Europe, and we're chasing a geological play called the 4D play that is producing some great results from the drill bit in terms of exploration. We drilled two wells just in the last, I suppose, 13 months now with both successes. And it's a similar geological play. And the idea is that we're building up a portfolio and heading towards a, you know, mid-sized oil and gas company.
Yeah, so let's go through the bit. So you've got Romania, you're now producing from there, aren't you?
Yep. We drilled a well in November last year. That's now on production. In fact, you'll remember, Justin, a couple of interviews ago, I challenged your listeners to find a company on AIM that put on a well quicker than we had in Europe, and nobody's done it so far. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've got production in Romania in a big block there. We're looking to do further drilling and, again, quick tiebacks and put on production. Italy, this time last year, we drilled a well at Selva. We participated in that, and it flow tested in January. That's now heading for hopefully production beginning of 2020. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, submitted the provisional permit put on production. There was a meeting with the operator and the national oil and gas team a couple of weeks ago. That was positive, so that's beginning to move forward, we hope. And obviously in Spain, we've just taken the interest 15%.
Yeah, so take us through Spain. What do you know about Spain then?
Well, hopefully I know quite a bit, but certainly for listeners, Tesorillo is a fascinating project for us. It's a real company maker. Netherland, Sewell have put a mid case of 830 BCF on the Tesorillo area. Now, Tesorillo, there was a well drilled at Almachal in 1956. It took them over a year to drill it. They used 200 drill bits. This was, you know, beginning of the days of Franco post-Second World War. But what they did have was a huge gas column. They flowed gas to surface. And as I say, it's a huge project. In terms of how much bigger is it for us if it comes in than Italy, it's 100-plus times, if listeners want to do the numbers, which are out there. So you've got to think, in the 50s, it was again looked in the 80s by Repsol and people like that, there was a limited gas market in Spain and Europe. That European gas market is now being connected up with lots of pipelines. And in fact, we now have infrastructure over the block because the Maghreb pipeline comes from Algeria into Europe here. So for us, we've got a huge target that we believe would flow well with a modern drilling techniques and using muds that didn't react poorly with the reservoir. And we've got, you know, low cost. We can get back to a suitable tie-in point within 5 kilometres. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, there are every manager that comes on the podcast, CEO or anyone like that, will say they're undervalued. At the moment, Ed, you are, what, sub 5 million market cap company. Like I say, you've got production going to be happening in Italy. You are producing from Romania. So give the case. Why do you think you're undervalued here?
I think you've got to start looking at the numbers. And in fact, our broker put out a good piece, Peter has. You can find it on our website. And with those numbers, you can start hanging the value case out there. So we've got, as I say, production from Romania. That's covering our cash burn, give or take. Now, Italy will produce, depending, somewhere between 1 and 2 million euros per year net to us. And as I say, Spain is a huge number. So we can go and test that with one well. And then if you, whatever metric you'd like to look at, we had a project originally one stage in Poland. So that was 80 BCF, and that was worth 50 million euros. So this is 800 BCF, so simplistically 10 times that. And we're, as you say, a tiny market cap company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's next for Spain then? What are you doing next there?
Well, we'll continue to move the project forward. If you deepen the announcement, what we've managed also to do, as well as the summer work programs, is find the raw data for the seismic shock shot in the 80s. We'll repost that and again pull in all the information that we've had over the summer into an updated, integrated geological model. Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll move things like the CPR along and get ready for drilling a well.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. And are you still on the lookout at the moment? I mean, at the moment, it's a tough market for resource stocks, but I suppose oil has dipped, but the gas prices, what are they looking like?
They've remained strong. There's still plenty of demand in, across Europe. They've even bounced in the US. Obviously, we're not exporting to the US, but no, gas prices have not done the dip that oil prices have done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're expecting, a reasonably good winter price for our Romanian gas.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, one final thing, Ed. For people listening who are not following Prospects Oil and Gas on Vox, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, you've hinted to it. We're firmly undervalued. I would, if people are interested, find the research report and read that. We are an experienced management team that unlocked huge value in complex environments by progressing solid work programs in the past. We're doing that here in Spain and in Italy and in Romania. And as I've hinted to listeners, there's huge upside in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Novel stuff. Ed, thanks for coming on, and hopefully you'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gobind Sawhney, Executive Chairman of Alpha Growth. ALGW is the ticker there. Gobind, thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you, Justin.
Okay, now we've had you guys on a couple of times, but I hate to assume that people know exactly what the business is all about. So if someone's new or just tuned in or is not familiar with the company, Gobind, can you remind them or summarize what Alpha Growth is all about, please?
Yeah, just very quickly, Alpha Growth PLC is a financial advisory business that provides specialists, consultancy, advisory, and supplementary services to institutional and qualified investors on a global basis in the multi-billion dollar market of longevity assets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, back in November 21st, you announced a joint venture. What does the JV to launch an open-ended fund mean for Alpha Growth?
Yeah, I mean, a good question. So, as you know, our goal at Alpha is to create opportunities for these institutional investors and others to invest in life settlements and you know, add to our asset management services to earn revenue. This open-ended fund is a long-term business for Alpha, and it complements our other offerings, such as the hybrid and the separately managed accounts, which those are effectively closed-end funds. So our objective with this open-ended fund is to, you know, bring over $100 million in AUM within the next 18 months or less from launch. And we are starting at our launch with $10 to $15 million.
Yeah, yeah. And so why partner with SL? And are they not competitors?
Well, that's a good question, too. Danny and I have known SL for many years and have worked with the professionals there on other situations in our previous roles. So it was kind of natural. We have a deep respect for what they have accomplished in this in the sector of life settlements. So as you know, SL is based in the UK, and we are based in both the UK and the US. We determined jointly that the combination of our two footprints and experience would be an incredible story for an open-ended fund in the life settlement space. So both of us realized that there has not been any original funds in this space in a while, and the timing is right for it now. So although SL and Alpha are both advisors to others in the life settlement arena, we also provide each other with complementary functions that each of us does not necessarily wish to duplicate internally. So in this situation, we are the beneficiaries of SL's long track record in the administration and servicing of life settlements, and they benefit from our deep experience and footprint bridging the UK, European capital markets, and specifically in the U.S. where the assets are located. So this is a very complementary relationship for each of us.
Yeah. So specifically, what are Alpha's duties within the fund then?
Alpha is involved in all aspects. So we're writing the document. We're going to be involved in the launch. And then, you know, the day-to-day management of the portfolio, which includes sourcing and the acquisition of the life settlements. And, of course, we'll be very intimately involved in the fundraising for the fund. So we are working with SL, who will be sharing the load in these same functions and also doing fundraising. So keep in mind that we're launching with at least $10 million, and that is a great icebreaker for a life settlement fund or any fund in general.
Yeah. And how do you earn revenue from advising the fund, Gobin?
Yeah, the fund pays an annual management fee, and we also earn a performance fee on realized gains by the investor. So, as you know, the fund is open-ended and perpetual. We expect to be managing this fund for years. We believe that our fund will be well-received, and the investors who are seeking uncorrelated returns, and especially with the volatility in the global equity and debt markets, not to mention global trade concerns, we expect to draw a lot of attention at our launch. So this fund will be open to global investors, and we expect to draw AUM from the different regions of the world.
Understood. Okay, here's the big one. So what are the growth prospects for the fund?
Well, listen, to give you some perspective, the other open-ended funds in this sector, and there are really only about three others, have each AUM between $1 and $2 billion. So, you know, we will launch with a track record that we believe is better than the sector average at the outset. Mm-hmm. So we expect to draw a lot of attention at the launch in the Q1 of 2019, and that's just around the corner. So we feel, Justin, that the interest in uncorrelated assets, such as life settlements, is huge. And our fund will give global investors the ability to invest and enjoy these, you know, superior asset management services with Alpha and SL. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, one final thing, Gobin. Every day on the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. So if you want to get on that list, hopefully. So if people are listening to this right now, like the sound of what you're about and the space you're in, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yes. Well, listen, the experience of our management is superior and world class. We have the skills and expertise of investing in uncorrelated assets, which, as mentioned before, in this time of high volatility, we feel this provides investors a great, better than average return. And then our growth is the growth potential for Alpha is huge. It's a big market, limited players, and you know, we look forward to excelling in all of these and more.
Excellent stuff. Gobin, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Valerix, that's VAL. At four, Emporium Group, MPM. At three, Games Workshop, that is GWA. At two, Brave Bison Group, that's BBSN. And number one, most followed, which is their share price has fallen out of bed today, it's ASOS, ASC, of course. They announced a very, I think the boss said, the toughest November ever in trading. And he also wasn't very upbeat about the upcoming months. So obviously they've fallen. What is the share price at the moment? Down 40% to a 2 billion market cap. So that's a big chunk of value loss right there. Okay. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Management Resource Solutions, Backman Plant Hire Update. At four, EVRH Holdings, which is appointment of non-executive director. At three, Jangada Mines, Maiden Nickel Jork Compliant Resource. At two, Vesarion, Patent Award. Of course, I chatted Neil earlier. Number one most liked RNS came from Anglo-African Oil and Gas, Operational and Corporate Update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.